podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to Real Estate Real and Unscripted with Nicole Miller. So excited to have everyone back again. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope today you're going to enjoy our show. It is a little bit of a different topic that a lot of people are not aware of. And so today's guest with me is Ben Sens, who is the owner of Boss Construction Group. And that is, he is a GC.
Yep.
However, primarily, he does some other things that help homeowners when they are in a situation where they are permitting after the fact or get to a time where they need to cure past work that had a permit that may have expired or gotten canceled. And so that is his primary business is what they do. And they help you as the homeowner when you get into that situation to get it done correctly, get everything fixed. And that typically happens through the course of real estate transactions, right? And so thank you so much for joining us, Ben.
Thank you, Nicole.
The premise of my show is to bring knowledge, the unconventional knowledge, the meat and potatoes of everything that touches the real estate ecosystem. And so every episode is super niched. And so we'll be talking about that today. And I'm really glad that you're here with me. You've been a resource to me for many, many years. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, what brought you into the space that you're in, and what makes you unique and different.
Sure.
And how are you changing your space?
So the last 20 years was kind of a synthesis of me working at the city, doing urban planning and zoning, and then shifting from that, you know, into property management and real estate and getting my GC license. So I found a lot of, you know, need throughout South Florida for property owners to have good contractor consultants, good owner's representation, not people who will just sell them a pergola or sell them a kitchen and say, hey, you don't need a permit for this roof repair or something like that. So primarily, I'm working with commercial and residential property where there's a real estate transaction, but it doesn't always have to be that way. We don't, you know, if we work with reliable people, we don't have to, you know, go ahead and clean up messes. Mm-hmm. So the object is not to get in those problems in the first place.
Right.
So that's with the consultancy. And I work with a lot of awesome real estate agents like yourself and real estate attorneys and title companies, but it's a very big panic, you know, when this kind of stuff happens. If you're selling, if you're buying a property, it's also a lot of questions that sometimes the home inspectors, who are great, they don't cover that area, unpermitted work. The sellers will tell you, you know, whatever the seller wants you to, you know, if you're buying a property, which you and I mean, you've helped buyers and sellers navigate these issues a lot through, you know, the seller's disclosure and the municipal lien search and making sure things are done right. And even a lot of realtors out there, they get involved. Mm-hmm. You know, the client has questions. They want assurances. The real estate agent gets involved, but they might not know the right answers. So the best thing is obviously to direct them to the right place, and we're the right place for those things.
So what makes you different? How do you feel that you, you know, what's unique about you guys that elevates your space?
I kind of learned about things backwards. I learned about things from correcting problems. My background, we're third generation. My grandfather was a builder. Mm. My father worked with him. It skipped with me, but I started in a city administration background. So I learned paperwork, processing, people. I got a graduate degree in urban planning. And so, like, I have a synthesis. I'm a hybrid. My background is not as a tradesman.
Yeah.
It's not as a plumber. So I learned things from having to dissect them, from seeing mistakes, not having made the mistakes necessarily, but seeing mistakes, helping people as a consultant, learning from field inspectors, and engineers and other contractors, and there's a lot in South Florida. So,
oh yes,
yeah.
Oh yes, no, for sure. And I think, you know, I do a lot of reverse engineering, and that's like when you get all that experience, then you now have all these things in your, you know, back pocket,
sure,
that you now can prevent for the future, right?
And there's so many different disciplines. For example,
right,
I'm a general contractor. I'm a roofing contractor. We have all the licenses, but, you know, I'm not a flood engineer. I'm not a mechanical engineer. But like, we went into a property in Davie the other day, and it was a beautiful 5,000 square foot, $3.5 million property in Long Lakes. The people just decided to, you know, build onto their loft, mm-hmm, and make a 900 square foot addition with a beautiful theater room and a bathroom. The point I'm making to that is, you know, that's great. The seller decided to build a floor and build, you know, structural supports, but they didn't touch the AC. They didn't touch the electrical. They didn't touch the plumbing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't touch it at all and they left it the same.
Right.
So even as contractors, we're not engineers. We're not designers. The things don't work correctly.
Right.
The room doesn't cool properly, or there's over condensation and you have mold. So
yeah,
these things, need to be handled the right way.
Right, right. So what Ben does is he helps, you know, we'll talk about one thing, permitting after the fact. If you are a realtor out there, typically, just, you know, kind of throwing it out there, our as-is contracts state with respect to permits that the seller is responsible for providing you what you need, Mr. Buyer, to close out his expired or open or any kind of permits. The contract does not have verbiage in it in and of itself that makes the seller responsible for curing their problems.
Who's going to pay for it?
Right. Yeah. Permits are not a matter of title either. So you can close with an open or expired permit. It's not something that's on the title that's going to prevent it from closing. So there have been additional verbiages that have been created over the years from, you know, attorneys for their brokerages and for the agents, where in the contract, there's in the additional terms we add in, and a good agents will add in some sort of verbiage along the lines of seller shall be solely responsible to close out any open or expired permits, and, you know, costs are all the seller, blah, blah, blah. Other agencies have put verbiage in their contracts that expand that and state, in addition to open and expired permits, seller is responsible for closing out and curing any work that was supposed to be permitted that never had a permit.
Unpermitted work.
Unpermitted work. And so what does that mean, right? So that kind of touches on two things, both things that you work on, right? So as a listing agent, when I take a listing, and this part of my protocol is I will do, and I'd say probably 95% of the cities and municipalities and towns in our area have an online permit portal. It extends to only so far. Some of them, you know, not everything was digitized, and you might get yourself caught in a situation. But I will go in and I will find city of Town of Davie permit search online. I will look online for you. I will make sure you don't have any open or expired permits. And we do that in the beginning, because what ends up happening is you will go under contract and there will be a clause in your contract that says seller is solely responsible for da 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 to cure it. And you will find out in week two, maybe two and a half, when the title company comes back with the lien search, maybe week three, you know, week before closing, Mr. Seller, you have an open expired roof permit from 2006. What's the plan?
Correct.
And yeah, then what's the plan, right? So as a realtor, I have put in as a best practice to do this in advance. And for my buyers, when we are making offers on properties, that is also done in advance to make sure that nothing is there. Because if you now need to cure these permits, that's a disaster. time. You can always close with an escrow holdback. Good luck. I had one where the pool permit was not expired from 25 years ago. And then it's like, well, how you're going to close? You're going to close holding back what? I don't know. The cost of a new pool in the worst case scenario, right?
How do you know? How do you know how much?
And then the buyer is like, well, I don't know. What happens if the pool is not done right? And now it has to be brought up to code. It has to be done the same way it is. Right. So there's a lot of consideration. You don't know what the city's going to say. Maybe the contractor dipped out. I had one where the contractor dipped out, the owner finished it, and who knows if it was done right. So that's a best practice that I'm just kind of throwing out there for agents. That information is available 95% of the time. There's a few, we're dealing with a couple of them now. They're not digitized, but you can get ahead of that.
You can get
a good chunk of the information. And sometimes you could even call the city and just ask and say, just want to confirm if there's any open or expired permits. Like, think of it this way. They're going to have to be addressed.
Sure.
So the buyers typically...
They're not... It's kind of like when we, you know, like, it's like you're bad things on a background check or your criminal check. It's not going to go away on its own. You could deny them all you want, but again, it's good to be transparent with your agent. Also for your agent to know what questions to ask. For example, you're on a listing appointment. Oh, we got in a fight with our pool contractor. Well, that permit might be open, you know, so you have your eyes and ears and, you know, working with someone like you, knowing what they're doing, that could save you a lot of money. It could save you from a buyer losing their rate lock, from you losing carrying the costs delays on the property.
Yep.
Yeah, it's huge.
So getting ahead of it is super important. And then when you do get ahead of it, you can employ someone like Ben.
Yeah.
And you can say, hey, you know, so we have this situation. There is a permit for this roof that was done back in 2006, and it has not been closed out. And we need to get it closed out, right? So what happens at that point when they're hiring you to cure something that was expired or an open permit?
For example, in the case of a roof, or let alone any permit, the city wants a contractor to take responsibility for the permit. So they want to do a change of contractor. They want you to renew the permit to, you know, to collect their fees and have it active. Specifically about the roof, you know, there's many layers of a roof, whether it's a shingle roof or a tile roof or a flat roof. So we generally look first at the permit itself and the existing elements on the property. And what we're looking at is the work that was done. Were there inspections that were passed? If there were no inspections passed, then that's going to be pretty difficult.
Yep.
The other thing that we're looking at is, hey, does that roof have any life left in it? So, for example, some municipalities, they're not going to reopen the permit if the roof is 20 years old and it's at the end of its life. So we're not here to sell you a roof. We're not here to do a roof repair or open up the roof. It really depends on the circumstance in the municipality. And so for that, we gather up all this information and then we say, well, what's in the best interest of the real estate transaction and the property owner and agent? So how are we going to handle this?
You give them the options. You give them the picture of like what we're looking at. And one thing that just kind of came to mind as you were talking. So if, let's say, you guys come across, your realtor comes across, you have an open permit for an HVAC system that was put in 3 years ago. It was put in by Joe Schmo AC Company. And Joe Schmo AC Company still exists, right? So you should be reaching out to Joe Schmo AC Company at that point and saying, yo, like, what happened? They're probably going to say, we tried to schedule the appointment. The owner never called. We never got access and no one remembered and we moved on. That's like the typical MO. They might come. They might charge you a couple $100 to redo it and then for them to come back. But they should ultimately
be
responsible for closing it out, especially if it's newer, if they're still around. Right. And you know, especially since, too, they may have documentation that can help and things like that.
Like, we don't have to, like, for example, if you get the mechanical contractor, which is really good, you're not going to have to do a change of contractor. That's one less process.
Right.
Just that's one less fee.
Yeah.
The thing why some of these, you know, contractors don't come back is, number one, they've been paid already in full and they're not really good stand up people. And the other reason why is that there might be an issue with some of the work.
Yep.
Say they didn't replace the electrical work that was supposed to do
with the water heater.
With the water heater. And
yep.
The water heater's in the same cabinet. So they know it's not going to pass inspection anyway. So, you know, it's very interesting. But what is news is that the city's starting to put holds on contractor licenses.
Thank God.
So it was just, we saw that in Dade County. But if you keep seeing that same contractor keeping the permit open, meaning a lot of them are pulling it, a lot of them are paying for it, but they're not calling for final inspections or any mm-hmm. inspections. So the city's starting to say to the contractors, hey, you can't dupe over any of our residents anymore. We're going to put a hold on your license and we're going to prevent you from pulling future permits,
good.
Which is good.
It's so
a form
good.
Of consumer protection. And, you know, we get into that a lot with permitting and code compliance, you know, but people ask me all the time until I'm blue in the face, hey, Ben, do you know a good pool contractor? Do you know a good? And I'm like, go to the city. Go
yeah.
see who in your neighborhood pulled the last couple of permits.
Oh, yeah.
And then see if they closed those out and how they called their inspections.
And the timelines, yep.
You'll start to see contractors either they don't call for inspections or there's large gaps or a lot of failing inspections.
Yeah.
Or they didn't finish the project in budget and they're doing change orders.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of these people walking around that are going to cause you problems and piecemeal and string you along. And they're out there.
In one of the other episodes, I was talking about how I do like due diligence on contractors.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good point. I wasn't thinking about that.
Never going to do 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, meaning you can call a concrete contractor, you know, work with them 9 times. And that 10th time, you know, their son's going through a problem and it's
yeah.
the last part of the year and they rip you a new one. So
yeah,
but yeah, just like we screen tenants, just like we screen buyers and sellers, if you follow a protocol and a standard and procedure, you're going to end up with a good outcome and mitigate a lot of liabilities. And that's what you help people do.
So one thing that I do, I'm like super OCD and I check into people. I've gotten really good at that. And there's so many different layers of checking, right? So I'll go into the DBPR. I'll look and see if that person is the person who's licensed and are they licensed? You're hiring Joe Schmo Plumbing Company, right? Joe Schmo may not have the license and he may be working under someone's license, which is basically a qualifier situation. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. When you're doing good business and it's being done right, I'm not discrediting that. I also just have seen it too, where that person is not the license holder and they disappear.
And they're selling, renting.
Yeah, they're basically paying for the use of that license.
Like one person is the financial responsible officer for the company. The other person's the qualifier.
Ideally, the qualifier is supposed to be checking that job, right? And they're
correct.
Supposed to be the one who's ultimately responsible
for
it.
Purview.
It's under their license. They're the ones putting the permit out there. So you just want to make sure as well that like those contractors and whatever they are, plumber, electrician, they have no litigation against them
yeah.
in public records for the counties that you're in. You know, look at our area, the Tri-County at the very least. You want to see if they've opened multiple businesses and
yeah.
closed multiple businesses and why. And you can kind of see, you know, if the person that's on that that SunBiz
yeah.
is on another one and 5 different ones that have closed over the years. And then you can look, I've done it where I've cross-referenced and I've been like, oh, they got sued. And then, you know, that's part of the due diligence I feel like as owners, because unfortunately GCs have a horrible rap and these trades have a horrible rap.
Most of the people I found they're either really doing business the right way or the wrong way, because to do business the right way, you have to maintain your relationships. You have to be someone who's sustainable, meaning have a sustainable financial business, not expand and contract and expand and contract. So, you know, have that track record. And I found a lot of contractors too, they're taking jobs that they shouldn't take, or that they're underbidding jobs to keep the momentum of their workers going because they have to pay their insurance. And these are management issues.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get yourself in the middle of someone falls on your house, or you're in Palm Air and Pompano and, you know, they gave one certificate to the association to show they have insurance.
Yes.
But then the guy ends up suing, you know, so I mean, there's all these sorts of things. But to do business right, it costs money.
Yeah.
And there has to be care. People call me, hey, Ben, can I rent my license? Can you sign for me here? Can you get my workers up in the building? It's not worth it. But again, there's some people who all day they'll sign the permits away and the license away, and then they'll wait for that one thing to happen. So, you know, but again, the most person who we care about is the property owner. As real estate professionals, as people who help people, that's the most thing we care about, because all of this falls on the property owner. You could blame the contractor, show you're blue in the face, the city, the contractor, sub, and ultimately it comes down
to
that decision. Anything that happens negatively out of that, whether the permit's left open or the project doesn't get finished, you're going to have to clean
up
the mess.
You're ultimately holding it. Yeah. And that's one thing, too, that I'll share with people is at the end of the day, it's, you know, the seller will say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I like to be blunt about this. And as you guys know out there, like I say it like it is, like it's your problem.
Prepare yourself.
Prepare in advance of how we're going
to
address it.
To compensate some buyer.
Oh, some people
buyer.
Have been like, I'm not. It's not my problem. Like, it is your problem. You created it. You need to fix it. Like, we have to be, you know. So, question.
So you want someone else.
Oh, yeah. I've had people that have been like, why am I dealing with that? Like, it's not a big deal. I lived with it for 20 years. And I'm like, that's great. But you caused the problem.
There's a hole in his backyard. Like, okay, so, and you have an open pool permit and I want to sell the place. You know, it's a code violation.
Yeah.
It's health safety issue. You know, I mean, look, close the hole and close the permit or finish the job.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have to do something, especially when, you know, and a lot of times, especially with prospective buyers, these people, they don't have the money to take on, you know, on top of the closing costs, they don't have the money to take on that liability. But again, and then a lot of people say, well, this is from three owners ago. Well, it's your property.
Then your realtor didn't do a good job protecting
your
you when
agent,
you closed on it.
Your title company,
you know, you didn't have.
And your crappy home inspection.
That happened to one of my sellers recently. And that was from two owners ago. One was found that I found. One was not digitized and came up from 20-something years ago, which was not in their system for that city. And like, where are you at that point? Well, the title company didn't take care of it for them. Mm-hmm. And now they're fixing it, right?
It all stems back almost to the real estate agent, because the real estate agent you choose, they're picking the home inspector a lot of times, or they're suggesting a couple. They're suggesting a title company, buyer's title maybe. So if you're working with shitty vendors and people who don't pull lien searches and people who don't give good inspection reports and, you know, it's going to affect how that property's going to conveyed.
Agents
out there.
Which we
talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
So you don't know the vendors and you're not experienced in the business. It's almost like the example I did about the contractor. Again, it costs money and resources and training to do business the right way.
Yep.
And your time and experience. So these people hopping in and out of our industry, they're not working with the right vendors. You know, they don't know the right questions. They don't know the right resources to point you to when they don't know the right answers.
So I had three sellers.
I know I'm skipping around.
No, you're good. I had three sellers 1 year back in the craziness of the height of the market. Three sellers who recently purchased homes where I could like find their inspection report, or like anywhere from 2 to 3 years was two of them. And one of them was like about 8 years. And I do, when I go into those properties, I will do a certain like Nicole inspection. I will be able to find to an extent if you have poly pipes, there's certain things that I'll look for in advance so that I can call out things, your electrical panel, you know, just different things that are going to possibly cause issues.
Insurance issues.
Yeah, issues of an inspection, issues from a buyer, you know, even bringing up stuff of, you know, you redid this and it's been done not in a workmanlike manner. And so I give people everything. I explain them everything. But I had three sellers 1 year who had bought their homes, and I did my little walkthrough and I was like, oh, shoot, we got poly pipes. She just bought it two and three years ago. So she gave me the inspection report and I'm looking at it and I see that they said that there were copper and PVC pipes. And when I looked at the pipes, they were poly, and poly pipes are gray. They also, you know, there's little things that I do that I can kind of tell. Sometimes they're very obvious. Sometimes someone will have done a kitchen renovation and they didn't change the poly. They just changed the facing. So when you're looking under the cabinet, it's copper. It looks beautiful.
So they just did what you can they see, but what what's behind the wall.
Yeah. And so
because it's expensive.
It's expensive
to change these things out.
Yeah. And in this case, well, it's so stupid because you redid the kitchen like the walls were open.
It was the opportunity.
It was an opportunity. So in one case, they did a renovation. Left the poly pipes. They were slightly hidden, but I was able to determine by the water heater, I think it was, where I was like, ooh, okay. And like, you could tell it was not. And I hit it. I'm like, oh, it's not copper. And then like I scratched off paint and they were gray. And that community is known for it. And
because when it was built, right?
That community, yeah, there's certain communities I know for sure, like they were built with them. And so there were two in this one community and one in a community in Coral Springs. This was in Boca and Coral Springs. And her inspection report said, you know, no issues. Her 4 point and, you know, her 4 point also had no issues.
So copy and paste.
So
the guy took an inspection report, maybe from another property, maybe didn't do his job.
He was chummy.
Yeah.
So that goes back to who you're working with and who they work with.
Yeah.
And so typically I'll tell, like I had an inspection company on one of my shows, and I'll tell people at the end of the day, like, if you don't want to use the inspector I recommend, that's great. But the recommendation is not coming because he's going to keep your deal together and lie. So in these three circumstances, all the sellers were like, that's interesting, because the buyer, my agent, was like really chummy with the inspector. I'm like, well, now we have a situation, and now we're in a position where we're going to have a problem. Like, for a buyer that's buying it, we're going to have a problem. And then we kind of prepare and I explain what that's all going to look like. Kind of going back to like some questions, what would you say, you know, how common is it from your lens that work is done without permits?
It's very common in single family houses because people, for example, are not going to want to pull permits to take down a wall and redo a kitchen because it costs more than the work itself. Or if you look at from the property owner's standpoint, the municipality sucks. They're a pain in the ass to get a permit from.
It takes so much longer.
The permit's going to take, you have to start, stop. And so all this. In townhouses and in condominiums, attached structures, people are pulling permits more along the time because there's an association and there's a neighbor and there's a lot more oversight and checks and balances.
You can't bring an entire kitchen up an elevator in a condo in South Miami with it.
Actually, in some buildings, especially during, you know, times of panic, you know, your real estate transition, your crash area, your foreclosure, some management wasn't present, some boards were incestuous,
100%.
And people were doing just that. But then those buildings had like millions of dollars in litigation and poly B piping that broke and people that put in washer and dryer without permits or they shouldn't have.
That's a big one too. Just as a side note, if you're buying in a condo and the rest of the building this not typically has a washer or dryer, and other units don't typically have a washer or dryer, what I would make sure that you ask for is the certificate of approval from the association.
Sure. Or the docs.
Or at least, well, something. That they approved it.
Because they're paying water. I mean, a condominium,
right, they're paying water
for the building. So
it's also going through the roof.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're breaking that roof and you're trying to stack it out the roof. But you want to be able to see the ARC form that they got approval. And if you're not seeing it on a permit, that's one thing. But if you're not seeing a permit was pulled for it, that's one thing. But at the very least, did the condo approve it? Because that happened to one of my sellers.
You might have an issue too in the future. It might not be an issue now, but in the future when you sell it. You'll see issues with like balcony enclosures.
Yeah.
Like, look, I mean, there's some things that we can't permit or legalize. So again, you know, there's all these types of situations out there, but specifically to your question, the single family residences, you'll see a lot of that. We do a lot of work in unincorporated Palm Beach County, which is west. But again, when, you know, if you're in the city of Boca or Delray or Pompano or Deerfield, when these people are selling or they're listing their property for Airbnb or they're renting their property on an annual basis, they're taking pictures of all the improvements, and the cities are looking at those pictures and cross-referencing them with the permit search. So again, you're going to, it's going to catch up with you somehow. It's going to, if you're in a house and you redo the kitchens and bathrooms and you're in a very strict municipality and a year later you call them in for the windows and doors.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up.
They're going to ding you.
So let's circle back on that. So I was actually going to bring that up. That was one of my questions, and it's couched in the fact that, like, okay, so you're in a transaction. You have, you know, you had signed a contract that said that buyer seller shall cure all open or expired permits. And then
you bait me for that, or
because that's like a huge one. And this is like needs everyone listen, right? So let's say you had an electrical panel and the permit was open and expired. And now, you know, it's an expired permit for an electrical panel from 6 years ago. Okay. Now you think you're the homeowner and you think you could do this yourself. And the electrician is still in business and he's your buddy. And you called him to come close out his stuff he didn't close out 6 years ago. But when he installed that electrical panel, your unit was original.
Yeah.
You did not take out the walls. You did not redo the kitchen. You did not change the AC, the water heater, do two bathrooms. He changed out the panel 6 years ago. You did all those renovations 4 years ago. So now you are doing the noble thing. And, you know, Joe's going to come in and fix this and close your electrical panel permit. And the city is going to come in.
Sure.
And they're going to go and close the permits and do an inspection. And then the inspection is going to, you know, they're going to look and they're going to say, ooh, this wall, like this place is beautifully done. Next thing you know, you've got co-violations. Yeah. You've got, you know, the city.
And people are saying they're like, they can't do that. And I'm like, well, they can. But so something really good, how we mitigate those situations is we'll do an inspection on the property and we'll look at it. Actually, with what the city has in their mind,
right,
is a trained code compliance officer, which I used to do. How are we looking? And so we'll tell Nicole, we'll tell you guys, hey, you know what? You should disclose that electrical panel was done with an expired permit to the buyer. Just keep it the way that it is. Let the buyer, again, understand the situations about taking it. And that's it. So there's a way to deal with things where you're not going to.
No, you disclose it, right? So like you could have an electrical panel that needs to be replaced or that was expired and it's in a garage that had an illegal garage conversion.
Yeah.
So you may be thinking you're doing the noble thing and getting permits for that. And now you've opened a Pandora's box.
Correct.
It's going to cost you $80,000 to cure the entire house that was unpermitted.
So you might want to, in some of these situations, convey the property with the problems, disclose them, and maybe the seller credit the buyer some money.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, all these times we're looking to transact. How can we, you know, we're looking to make sure that we're professional, that representation is done completely, that there's full disclosure.
And
getting these to transact.
Yeah.
There's different ways to handle problems. For example, I was in Pompano the other day and I'm picking on them. Some guy was selling his house to an investor. But outside the house, there was all this illegal hot water heaters outside, but he had an open AC permit.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Pompano, you can call them for $80 and they'll come out and do an inspection to close out the AC permit, which is right near all the plumbing and electrical work.
Right.
And the illegal addition. So, you know, I'm like, look, I asked questions. I said, well, you know, oh, the buyer's an investor. Oh, he's going to gut the house anyway. Mm. Oh, he's going to pull permits for everything.
Right.
Don't tackle
this.
So it's just a matter of planning and you're good at that. And whatever you do, you know, you're a planner, you're a processor, you can understand those things. But in order to plan and process, you have to have training and experience.
Right. You have to know what can come up.
You have to know. So, and again, I found that a lot of other real estate professionals and a lot of professionals and non-professionals in other industries, a lot of these people, their business is not stable enough to, even if they wanted to give people the right advice, because they need that commission, they need that closing. So again, it's not, and that I see a lot, and it's unfortunate that I see it a lot, But again, that's why you have a level of people doing business in the industry and some people kind of dabbling in the industry and things like that. And you see that. You see that in everything.
You see that in every business. And that's the whole purpose of my show, is to give people this knowledge so that they know and they're able to make those decisions. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, just because the AC is on, you know, we had one where it was an expired permit for, it was like a pool, like something with the pool, but it was like 40 years old. Nothing, you know, it didn't do anything. The buyer was totally okay with taking it on and just leaving it because it was 40 years old. It went through like four different sellers and they were like, all right, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal.
It's not a title issue.
And as long as you are disclosing everything and people have the right information, you know, that's what it's all about, is giving people the right information and doing the right thing. Because
that's it.
Just because you didn't, you know, and I'll have sellers and the seller's disclosure. So bringing up the seller's disclosure. Seller's disclosure has a line on it that states, was there any work that was done without approval of your association, if it's a condo? And was there any work that was done without permits, that required permits? And most sellers will check that box off, no.
Or don't know.
Or don't know, whatever, right? Yeah. But a lot of times people will say no. One, you know, something that comes to mind, just because you hired a contractor didn't mean they pulled permits.
Correct.
So I can't tell you how many people I've worked with all the time that'll say, oh no, they did pull permits. And I'm like,
or you paid them for it. They pulled
it
and they didn't close it out.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, a job can only be sold so many times. So if you're not working with like an owner operator like us or a professional person, you know, there's no accountability there.
Yeah. So
don't assume,
ask the right questions.
We even have really large companies. When I was working in Weston and Service America was in business at the time, a big, you know, service, like Total, like one of these big companies. And they were pulling permits for every other job or every third job, AC or water heater they were changing out. And, because their trucks were all around the city.
Yeah.
And the inspectors were also all around the city. And I remember the building official, Neil, he got really pissed off because he's like, they're trying to screw the system. They're pulling permits for every third house that they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you originally find, and, you know, it's not only about the permitting fees. It's, you know, it's about the quality of the work, the
quality
job,
of the work, the purpose
the
of
fittings,
the permits.
So the water heater doesn't explode. I mean, I was with a plumber the other day and we were going to a food truck thing in Carl Springs. And he's like, yeah, I got to be out here for the fire department. And I'm like, for the food trucks? He's like, yeah, we have to make sure that all those propane tanks on the trucks, they're fitted correctly. So when people are standing around the truck doesn't explode or there's no leaky gas.
The purpose of permits is to protect the public.
Correct.
From, you know,
so I'm like, what is there doing? And I even said this, I know the fire department, they can inspect the spacing between the trucks, the egress and this and that. No, they were looking at those gas tanks because they've had problems with these trucks.
Interesting.
So I was like, you know.
What is the worst case scenario? So like we talked about, you know, expired permits, you got to go back. So someone does like a bathroom renovation and the permit was expired and they did not have any rough-in middle inspections, right? So the rough-in inspection is of the plumbing and then you have the structural and then you have the final, right? Certain permits that you pull are like final, like the water heater, right? Like
one
you install
inspection.
It, one inspection.
Not like the roof, which is like...
Yeah, there's layers of inspections,
layers,
right?
Yeah.
So when you get to the point of a layered inspection type of a job, what are some of the things now that you're facing as a homeowner to now correct that?
So the city used to just accept engineer letters for your concealed work, as they call it, like before you put the tile in the shower.
Yeah.
They want to inspect the Duroc and the framing and
the screws,
you know, all that stuff. The answer is some of the cities will ask for engineer reports. Some of the cities said, you know, I don't want an engineer letter. I want photographs because the engineers were just lying.
Right.
Even though they're taking responsibility for it, they're just lying. Some of them say, hey, Ben, you know, go in the closet behind the shower, open up a piece of the wall And that's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm okay. You know, whatever we have to do to permit it after the fact. But people, you know, unfortunately, there's 104, 105 municipalities in South Florida. Mm-hmm. The building officials are always changing. They're deciding how much liability they want to take what procedures to be closed down. Yeah. So the answer is really different every time. But there are some consistencies there. We know what we can get away with and we know what we can't. For example, like the amount of outlets there needs to be, the wiring with those outlets. People say, well, I just did the outlets in the bathroom. And I'm like, yeah, but you need updated smoke alarms in the house because you did a level two alteration or whatever. Right. And you, and your panel can't accommodate those arc fault, those breakers that, you know, tick back when they're so it prevents from overheating and fires. That old panel can't accommodate the breaker cassette. So, you know, it's really all situational, but what the city's asking for is indemnification. They're asking for someone to take responsibility for the work, a new licensee, and they're asking to come out to inspect. So as long as you could check off all those boxes, you're fine. Concealed work, it can be fine, you know, but it's so funny because all the contractors or wannabe contractors or property owners say, I took pictures. Okay, well, why did you take pictures? And they're like, because we want, no, because you knew you needed a permit.
Yeah.
So again, logically, they're taking pictures of the work as it's progressing to cover their ass. But I got that, you know, sorry for the language, but I got that. But really, you know, they're taking pictures because they're covering up things as they're going, which is exactly the process in the city. And you know, I could get that shower done in 2 days without a permit in a condo or single family. But to get it done with a permit, it's going to take 6 or 7.
You could also hire Joe, who did 3 showers in $1 million listing that I had. And when they moved out and I was cleaning out the place, I looked at the wood flooring and was like, "Yo, what is this? It is all wet." Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, we might have a leak in the pipe. That would have been ideal.
Yeah.
Okay. Leak in the pipe would have been ideal. Mm-hmm. No, it was not a leak in the pipe. Mm-hmm. The guy he hired to do the showers in this $1 million house didn't put a shower pan liner.
That vinyl thick
literally
liner.
Literally installed tile to the floor and the board.
Yeah.
And there was no waterproofing.
No water, yeah.
And it was done in 3 showers in this $1 million house. So
there's no oversight.
There's no oversight. There's no checks and balances. There's no ensuring it's being done right. And it's not to be extra, you know, to cost you too much money. Mm-hmm. It's to make sure that your investment that you paid him to do the shower is not going to end up defaulting at some point and causing you more of a mess. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know,
we've had issues where like there's been litigation and we've been called out. So like as a owner's rep, you know, you've paid at that point, these particular people, they've paid for the job to be done right.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. They're not looking to cut corners, but they hired someone who did cut corners. And, you know, the oversight is there for a reason. The checks and balances are there for a reason, meaning you're not going to have a roofing contractor who's going to do a roof and put the nails every 16 inches on center and the tin caps here and the stripping there. They're going to skimp.
Yeah.
Why are they going to skimp? Because
they can. It's their margins. Watching them.
It's their margins. Profit. And why are their workers going to skimp? Because they're going to take a bucket full of nails for the job that they're moonlighting on when they do a repair. So again, all of these things are here for a reason. You know, but some of the oversight is a little too much, but you know, who's to say that? I'm not a lawmaker.
Right.
We don't make the policies.
No, for sure. Definitely. So have you had any like situations that were like the story from hell, like the worst, like possible permitting after the fact or, you know, cleanup mess type of anything that you can think of that was just like a horror story?
We've had substantial issues in like historical houses that didn't get permits for things specifically, like Old Floresta right by here.
Yeah.
People who've moved, renovated kitchens, done work where the finished floor elevation doesn't line up. So for flood purposes, when you're adding on to a particular building or doing an addition, you need to make sure that the elevation of the floor meets or exceeds the principle of the property. That's right. For FEMA, the federal government, to get flood insurance. Even if you buy cash, you're not getting around that. So yeah. The city wants an elevation certificate. And because if the city is finding to do permits, or is finding that they didn't do that, then the city's flood insurance, they'll lose their flood insurance kind of premium guarantee. Mm-hmm. So the city needs to defend, and they need to enforce. The correct word is enforce. They need to enforce these things. So there was a generator in this house, and this neighborhood floods, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, they do.
You know, we had to change the elevation of the pad and the floor and all of this to get it, you know, to pass. But when you're looking at a dollar amount, this was like $2.4 million house. This was back about 10 or 12 years ago. It's probably a $5 or $6 million house now with, you know, about $400,000, $500,000 in improvements. We were just at a dock, for example. The guy decided to redo the dock. And he was redoing the seawall. You got to take off the dock. But then he wanted to put a new dock on without a permit. But he had a dock and it went very far out onto the intercoastal waterway. Mm-hmm. And the new Florida regulations for environmental
didn't allow you to. Well, unless you go that far out.
So again, you know, you want to be very careful what you're calling things, how yeah. you're altering kind of things. Are you doing a dock repair? Are you doing a new dock? Because certain things will trigger compliance issues.
Right.
And you might lose what you have plus more.
Yeah.
Meaning you might have a grandfathered in dock.
Right.
You know, that any permit. And so interestingly, that's why people also don't pull permits.
Right.
Because this guy's like, you know, I want to hire Joe Schmo contractor who will redo all the wood and will do it right, but I can't pull a permit or I'll lose the dock.
Right.
So then, you know, so there's all sorts of reasons behind things.
But I think it's also important, like that goes back to knowledge yeah. and knowing, because like he could have gone the right way. You could have been doing the noble thing. You got a permit, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, the drawings get denied and they kick it back to you. And you just demoed a dock that needed some repairs, but you demoed it. And now you got rid of half your dock. So
planning experience
and working with someone who's experienced and aware of the nuances of all those codes, the requirements. Yeah. What's, you know, what the cities are looking at and what they require, so that you don't put yourself in a position that now you are like, oh, shoot, I could have just left that dock and we could have just painted it or yeah. something, right? Like, I just wanted a nicer dock, but now I have half a dock.
Or, so, oh, man, I bought this property for yeah. $6 million and, you know, I demoed this commercial property because they're doing a lot of redevelopment. We're in right. South Florida, the best place to do real estate. Like, everything is booming and it's really nice. I hope it stays that way. But we need to be responsible about development too. So the city has development regulations.
Yeah.
Right. So you'll be on the federal corridor and they'll be like, when you demo this place, you need to keep a certain percentage of it this, or you'll lose that big building you got there or something right. like that. The point I'm making is before you buy, before you, you know, do anything to your property, do your due diligence, find out what's going to trigger what. And people are like, you know, Ben, I want a free estimate. I want you to find out all that. And I want a free estimate because all these other contractors, they're giving me free estimates. Mm. And I tell them all these other contractors, they're not doing the diligence and the research.
No, they're not.
They're coming. When it becomes a problem,
yep.
then they're dealing with it. So, you know, there's different ways to approach and look at things, but you always get what you pay for.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, no, thank you. And
you're welcome.
So is there anything that you can think of that burns inside that I may have missed that we can talk about? Or do we cover pretty much everything?
So something really burns inside of me is that, you know, very few realtors are either know how to manage the situation, doing the right thing or issue, or recommending to someone. So, yeah. I mean, I clean up problems all day. I deal with dumpster fires all day, post-closing, hopefully you don't have to do that escrow hold back or do things post-closing, because that always becomes difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so all the time, again, everyone's rushing. Everyone wants to get to the closing table.
Yep.
Sometimes even the title company, the lender, the realtor, things like that. Oh, we'll deal with this, you know, and somewhere down the chute, you know, something gets that pool permit that you discussed earlier. Well, we did a $5,000 escrow holdback, but then we found out, you know, there are $2,300 in permitting fees with the city of Coral Springs to reactivate this permit and get a new one. And the fence needs to be redone. And the electrical's not grounded. And
right.
This. So then you have a buyer's agent, you know, then you have a buyer who now is really feeling bad.
No, they're screwed.
They bought the property. They're screwed with the other half. Yes, the city will work with them. But again, you know, their kids are jumping in that pool. The electrical's not grounded.
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, so there's, I mean, work with the best people you can locally. You know, don't work with, you know, referrals of, I mean, and I know we do business of referrals, but like, my point
do
is
do your due diligence.
A job.
Do your due diligence. So if you're getting referrals, do your due diligence. You know, if someone's referring, and some people don't trust realtors, you know, people don't trust realtors that they're, you know, in bed, they're giving that referral because it's going to, they're going to not do as good of a job, and they're going to save the deal because the inspector is going to ignore it. So do your due diligence. You know, there's so many ways that you can for everyone. Right. And so
someone asked me, why does this home inspection cost $800, but I got other estimates for $650? Well, this guy is crawling underneath the house.
Yeah.
And that,
this guy's going in the pool.
This guy, you know, this guy brings an in-water guy in a wetsuit to go in the pool with ink and look for different, you know, leaking in areas. So it's totally well worth it. And my cousin's buying a house right now. And, you know, what do you have to lose? I mean, you have to. Okay. So you're working with a great person. You get another property under contract. You've now wasted or whatever $800 inspection fee, but you haven't had to eat tens of thousands of dollars in problems post-closing.
Or now you have negotiation, right?
Yeah.
Because once it becomes something that comes up, like, so example, and, you know, we'll wrap it up, but like in another example, seller's disclosure, or even in the contract that the seller's required to cure any open or expired permits. And through our research, we discovered you did the entire house windows without permits.
Sure.
And your addition, like that you had, was the roof or whatever, things were not permitted. Now for that seller, Mr. Seller, you have a disclosure issue now.
Yeah.
Like, and your seller's disclosure can no longer say, I don't know. Like, you know.
And what's interesting is that you use that language, which is great. It protects the buyer even outside the inspection period.
Yeah.
Because some of these things are found out. The lien search.
100%.
The open permit search, if you didn't do it earlier or whatever, or you didn't have a thorough inspection,
it's not during
they're
the inspection
find
period.
Out outside the 5-7 days. And you don't want to end up with an escrow dispute. And if the buyer finds out things that they don't want about the property, they want to clean out.
Right.
So if you have that additional language in there, you know, and if you represent the seller, you should know everything you can about that house, or
let them know that, you know, this might come up. This will be in. And I always tell people, because people will say, you're so like negative. You're always, I'm like, no, but
no.
Even last night I was talking to my husband. I'm like, I hate being like the Grim Reaper, but this offer is not going to work. And he's like, because, you know, like you're looking at these things.
I mean, not overanalyzing, but you know that it's going to come up as an issue. So, you know, it's not being pessimistic. It's not being over analytical. You've dealt with this situation in the past.
And I know the four different ways we can play it and make it work, right?
Correct.
So it's like, all right, you could do this or you could do that, or it's going to be like this or it's going to be like that. But at least you now know, so that when that happens, they're like, oh, okay, now I got to deal with it. So
think about it. You're sitting with an agent, or you're sitting with an attorney or anybody. You want to let them know everything that you know that happened, or, you know, everything else, so they could best represent you.
Right.
And, you know, I've never honestly, and I know we choose who we want to work with, which is great because we love what we do. I've never worked with someone who has told me, hey, Ben, why are you looking at these things? And then after I explained it about you know, after I explained it to them, because some people be like, why did you explain it to him? You're going to kill the deal or you're going to do this. They appreciate that.
Yeah.
Once they find out what it is that you're trying to prevent, maybe it might not go over right away. But again, this is part of our business
practice. Solutions to everything.
This is part of our business practice and handling things as a professional. So if you're so scared to tell a seller or buyer about something, then you must not be a real professional or know the resources how to do. There's ways.
Everything has a solution.
There's ways to do everything.
Yeah, everything has a solution.
So we don't walk around scared because we have the tools and we can, you know, fix those things, flip those things, you know, another example, you know, an opportunity. This might be your opportunity. This kitchen is crap, but this might be your opportunity to get a credit from the buyer and do the kitchen in the future the way that you like it. So there's all sorts of, 100%. You know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So you have to look at the opportunities and try and be as optimistic as you can.
For sure.
Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
I appreciate it.
A good friend.
Thank you. I have an elbow injury.
All right.
So tell everyone out there how they could best reach you if they need your services.
Sure. Our Instagram handle is BallCGC. You can contact our office. You know, we do a lot of content with Nicole too. So we're going to have our tag in there. And you know, whether you're a real estate professional, whether you're a property owner, you can give me a call anytime. I'll tell you how it is. I give a free consultation. If we can, you know, help you, we charge a fee to come out and inspect the property of $675.
Gotcha.
But usually between the documentation from the municipality and all the other things, we're able to size things up and know if we can help you or not.
Got you. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone
out there. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you got some golden nuggets from this. If you have, please share, like, subscribe, and help put out the information so that more people can hear it.
Thanks, you
guys for joining us, and I'll see you on the next one.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.